Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
It's never been more important to reach out and communicate with your customers and indeed your clients. But with the explosion of social media in recent years, just how hard is it in the world of PR in 2024? And I'm delighted to be joined by three PR stalwarts, I'd have to say. Joining me this morning are Joanne Byrne, Director of Presence PR. Deirdre Waldron is the founder of Fusion. And also joining me is Anne Power, the founder of Powerhouse, based down there in Waterford. Anne, we might start with you. You might just tell us a little bit about your business and how it all came about.
Good morning, Bobby. Thanks for having me. Sure. I'm working in the PR industry now 20 years, and I have to say I enjoy it as much today as I did day one. I founded Powerhouse PR in 2009, and that was on the back of, you know, the crash and a lot of the industry letting go staff at that time. So I had a little push to either set up my own business and remain in Waterford where I really wanted to be, or, you know, go to Dublin or go to London and go work in agency somewhere else. So I have to say, never look back. I love working in the region here in the southeast and south of the country mostly. And mainly my clients are in the consumer PR area in mostly tourism and hospitality, which is an area that I actually really relish.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Anne. Stay with us. I want to introduce our next two guests. Joanne Byrne is the Director of Presence PR. Joanne, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby. Thanks for having
you
me.
Describe yourself as being involved in consumer-focused PR. Just explain exactly what that means to us, Joanne.
I suppose that's you go into a store, you go into a shop and you buy something. And if you've heard of that brand, then chances are somebody in PR somewhere along the line has tried to highlight that brand to you. So you have 25 different types of cheese, but you've read about an amazing Irish cheesemaker in the wilds of the Burren that is creating something that is now sold in some Michelin star restaurants around the world. You know that because somebody in PR has written something and has placed that lovingly into the hands of somebody who will write about it.
I think one of you described, you know, advertising as paying for exposure, but that PR is about others talking about you, which I thought is a wonderfully sort of simple but articulate way of describing the difference between the
two. I often have to talk to a client and explain actually what we do, because sometimes people think that we do more, or we are everything.
Yeah.
So what I would say to you is, advertising, you take an advertising, you go to an advertising agency and you go, I am fabulous. I want it to be in the paper that I'm fabulous. So they go, okay, Bobby, well, give us, this is how much it's going to cost. Where do you want to go? Irish Times. This is how much it's going to cost. And they will take out an ad that says Bobby Kerr is fabulous. But it's going to say it's fabulous because you've paid to say it's fabulous.
Yeah.
You come to me and you go, I want people to think that the show and me is fabulous. And then I go off and come up with a plan that will try and get people to believe you and to think that you are fabulous. So for me, then it is, I'm going to somebody going, do you know that he's interviewed X amount of people? Do you know that he's put in front of the Irish public X amount of entrepreneurs? I mean, this is what he's doing. This is how he's doing it. And then somebody turns around and goes, you're right.
Yeah.
Can I talk to him for 10 or 15 minutes?
And can I ask you as well, Joanne, before I go to Deirdre, about balancing your own work in what you've described so articulately there, as you represent people as a, I suppose, a commercial agent per se. How does that fit in with your PR business?
Yes, I'm an agent and I have been for, I think, 18 of the 21 years that Presence PR has been going. Catherine Thomas was my very first client and she took a punt. But I think what it is you, my bread and butter is my PR consumer agency. Everything else that we do outside of that, and I'm sure, you know, Anna did to a degree, you know, that's the cake is the consumer PR agency. The icing is the extras that you do. So if that's an event, or if that is representing somebody, and you know, and then you're negotiating, you're taking X percentage. I always laugh when somebody introduced, I was recently introduced to somebody who did Westlife weddings, and I went, if my business and the seven people that work in Presence B were dependent on a couple of weddings, we would not have a business.
Thank you for that. Let's go to Deirdre Waldron, founder of Fusion, based in Cork. Your entry to PR was, I think, you were in hospitality and you did a volunteer stint in the Rose of Tralee in the marketing department. And the rest is history. Is that right, Deirdre?
Yeah, I had various jobs in the UK and Ireland in marketing and PR, and landed myself back in Tralee, my hometown, and just couldn't get the jobs I would have had in the UK. So I just had to create my own job. And part of that was volunteering in the Rose of Tralee. And the three phenomenal years, I was running a busy international press office. But imagine being able to do that from your own town, hometown. You're dealing with crisis comms and international press. But it was just phenomenal learning about building relationships with the media. They're people too. And it gave me a really good Rolodex of contacts then when I went to start my own business. And I started that 25 years ago only because I thought no one would employ me. I was working with a newspaper down in Kerry and I felt I should be running the newspaper, not my boss. So I thought this is a good time to leave. And within a month or two of leaving, the competitor newspaper asked me if I'd go work for them as an employee. And I totally just chanced my arm and I just said, I'm starting my own business. Would you like to be my first client? And they came on and they were my first client 25 years ago.
Yeah. And in terms of your business, you've grown it to a point. How many staff do you have now?
There's 20 of us in the team
now. So is that sort of the sweet spot in terms of how big you want to be? Or is the ambition greater than that?
The sweet spot for me was me with one little assistant. But then I met this amazing Cork man, Greg Canty, who's my other half. And he gave up his fine pensionable job to come work with me full time because he saw the potential of a communications agency. You're selling your services. You don't have to buy a load of product in. You don't need a shop window or a retail premises. And he saw the potential for that. And it was his vision to grow the business. And if it was it's his vision that we keep on growing. And I'm probably the more cautious of the two, which is why we complement each other.
Yeah. Back to you down in Waterford, Anne. In terms, you say you enjoy working in the hospitality sector, Griffin Hotels, the wonderful Hook Lighthouse and the Waterford Treasure Museum. How do you seek out clients or do they come to you?
I'm very lucky at this stage, I suppose. By reputation, a lot of clients come my way, which is fantastic and very welcome. Of course, there's tender process as well when you have, you know, public facing organisations and clients, and lots of the visitor and tourism attractions would be in that realm. So they would, you know, tender out their public relation requirements. And if you're interested and have the capacity, really, then that's something that you'd go for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose that's why I build and have built clients. And it's at a busy time of year at the moment, because I do festivals and events as well. So we've Winterville on in Waterford, and that's full on Christmas mode,
yeah,
probably since last spring, to be honest.
Joanne, when we look at the world now of the prominence and the emergence of the influencer, some people and cynical people would call them, you know, wannabes looking for freebies. But they're very important, are they not, as a constitute of modern PR?
They are. And I think anybody who thinks that they are all wannabes is totally missing the point. There are a large number of influencers in this country who really treat their job very seriously, and they take any collaborations or any commercial agreements like really seriously. They're very creative. Now, of course, you have the people who like it as an aside, for want of a better word, but the ones that are making the money, and there are a lot of people making a lot of money, are really serious about it.
Yeah.
And people who think that it is, you know, it's a passing phase, or they didn't take it seriously, you know, they're missing what those influencers are actually doing for
clients. So how has that changed PR per se?
Well, I do a lot of, myself and the team in presence, we do a lot of, you know, influencer negotiations now.
Okay.
So I see more contracts than I really wanted ever to see in my entire life. But, you know, they're a necessary evil. And there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing to agree what the parameters within that arrangement are going to be. I mean, I think recently we had one and was 35, 40 emails to agree what it actually was going to be.
Yeah. So, and has it, I suppose, is it heading towards maturation in terms of it being much more mainstream now than it was?
Well, yes, but, you know, everybody was going, oh, we're reaching a peak. And then TikTok arrived.
Yeah.
You know, and then TikTok arrived with loads of new ways of looking at algorithms. And you're right back down into the, as you can hear from my voice, you know, I'm referred to in my team as Amish, not due to my religious choices, but because I'm so backwards in anything technological. So, you know, I have the younger members of my team are the ones who keep that, you know, keep that those wheels going. Yeah. Laura, Ian, Kate, Ash, myself and Sinead are the ones that look and go, okay, right, if you say that it's right, it's right.
In terms of the world of social media, Deirdre, how has PR changed, I suppose, to embrace all that is social media? Because it seems to be a very integral part now of how communication happens. So it must be very relevant in terms of PR.
Yeah, and it's challenging. It's like the whole way we communicate now is so complex. Like back in the days in the Rose of Tralee, I was communicating to journalists using fax machines. Now I can send them a DM on social. But like Joanne, I wouldn't have much engagement with the social media influencers. That would be my colleague, Steph, who's head of communications with her team. They look after all of that. And my learnings from that is whether an influencer is 5,000 or 500,000, as long as they're aligned to the brand and it comes across as authentic. I'm old fashioned and I don't want my clients to write a big check for something just to get one hit. Maybe they get loads of likes and loads of, but is it authentic? Is it connecting with their brand? And my team on the consumer side of things, we have a corporate side as well and digital and design. But on the consumer side, they're very kind of clued into who's the right influencer. And if you work it, it complements the traditional side of communications, but it will never take over from it. That one-to-one connection you have with a journalist or a researcher is so important. And likewise with the influencers, they're just another part of the pie. It's a bigger pie now.
Yeah. I mean, certainly what's happened with clients when influencing started, it was all about the numbers. It made my clients and the actually authenticity of the influencer with the brand was less about how many followers did the influencer have. Now it's gone the total opposite. It is now how real, how believable is that influencer? How organic can it sound? So, you know, whether it's 500,000 or 5,000, in the past they would have gone 500. Now they're looking and going, okay, why this person with 5,000?
And is it relatively easy? And maybe I'll put this question to Anne down in Waterford. Yeah. Anne, in terms of evaluating performance around influencers and social media, are the metrics there? Is it? Can you demonstrate a real return on investment?
So I think what we're talking about here is actually probably more, there was a whole transformational shift in terms of the integrated communication channels with social media and bringing influencers into those channel mixes. And now if we look at AI and what that's doing for the industry at the moment, if you look at some of those tools, those social media intelligence tools, and Joanne is right there with the shift from likes and shares to now, it's more about a reputational transfer between the brands.
Yeah.
So you're really looking at engagement and positive sentiment and whether, analysing whether that influencer is the correct fit in the very first place and whether it's going to match with your brand audience. And therefore, then, if it is correct, you can analyze the results and the impact. And I think at the very beginning of this conversation, There was a discussion around advertising and PR. And I think Joanne mentioned that, and that's where you see the value of PR, really, the impact of others talking about your brand and that reputational transfer from the huge brand that is the Irish Times to your maybe entrepreneurial brand that's just a startup. And again, an influencer of good reputation, their reputational transfer to your brand as well. So I think you can see a lot of the impact there. And there's different ways to measure that.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's metrics, and you can use a lot of different AI tools to look at those patterns and thematic analysis and everything. But I think the traditional metrics also are there too in terms of the numbers. So yeah, it is measurable.
Yeah. So last word to you, Deirdre. Would I be right in saying that, I suppose, you know, good PR is about managing and communicating reputation?
Yeah, it's your reputation. It's everything your brand says and does. And it's our job, Joanne, myself and Anne, to kind of mind our client's reputation. And that could be through kind of crisis communications, reputation management. It's not just about press releases either. And even now since COVID, it's about internal communications, because one of your biggest stakeholder groups is your internal audience, and managing and attracting and retaining your talent, you know?
Okay. It's a fascinating industry. It's one that's changing like so many other industries. I'd like to thank my guests, Joanne Byrne, founder of and director of Presence PR, Deirdre Waldron, the founder of Fusion, and Anne Power, a founder of Powerhouse. Thank you all for a great discussion.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.